It's always a privilege. Thanks for the pastor. Please pray for him and his family while they are away. And also thank for the board of elders and deacons for giving me this opportunity to serve with them in the ministry. And thank you also for the congregation for your prayers. And perhaps it's one way or the other, you already heard familiar sermons with different titles. There are a lot of examples given, like I have seen the title Jesus Walks on the Water. And if you notice in your Bible, if you have the ESV or the NIV or the New Living Translation, NLT, or even the NIV version of the Bible, it will give you this subtitle, Jesus Walks on the Water. But some sermons, familiar sermons that I have read, even entitled the sermon, Peter Walks on Water, The Secret to Walk on Water. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Then there's also one title, Get Out of the Boat. So these are different styles of preaching, different insights. I remember at first I was planning to preach on church unity. But somehow my wife, which is considered always my critic, of course constructive, one, but also I praise God that it's also a privilege to serve the Lord together with my wife, with her. And I'm sure some of you couples also can identify with that. But you see, anyway, she reminded me that Pastor Sunny already preached the said topic when he went through the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Unity in the Body of Christ. Anyway, for some reasons, I came across this account, Jesus Walks on the Water, on the 14th chapter of Matthew. I started reading and praying that God will bless his word and use this message to minister to you and me this morning. As I have mentioned with those familiar sermons out there, I have to confess that it's quite hard to come up with a title for today's message. Thus, some reason while reading through these passages over and over again. In fact, until this morning, I don't know if you are sensitive. I don't know. Sometimes I'm emotional. If you're sensitive, I don't know if our worship team knows about the message today. But if you're sensitive enough, if you really have prepare yourself to worship, to participate in a meaningful worship, I don't know if you have noticed all the lyrics of the songs, which has something to do with the message this morning. You see, there are mentions about waves crosses over me, and they're like hurricane winds, river, and there are even a word there, oceans, being on the hands and God's hands. Those are calamities, right? And at the end, the last song, if you are sensitive and if you notice, I think it says there, Lord, I want to go back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. So this morning, with all those titles, somehow God spoke to me. When you're reading these accounts, Even Bible scholars are like John Bloom, one of the top writers of DesiringGod.org, which is founded by John Piper, and he's a co-founder. It's like the Word of God is like gold mine. It's like digging. And while digging, you just scratch the surface, or you're just getting the nuggets, some of the nuggets, that gold mine. So it's true. If you're reading these passages over and over, God will speak to you, either in the song like this. So while I'm trying to come up with a title, it's really hard because there are a lot of titles that I have mentioned. Jesus walked on water, even Jesus and Peter. But when I read through, it's not about the disciples, it's not about Peter, it's not about the wind, it's not about the waves, it's not about himself, Jesus walked on water. At the end, it's about who really is. It's about Jesus deserves true worship. That's why I came out. It's not all about these things. It's all about Jesus, the Son of God, the Master of everything. So with the outline, have you seen the, looking at the video. Then again, God spoke to me. And when was the last time you have taken a boat or you have been in a boat or on a ship? And I remember the last time that I was in a boat, when I think that was in 1979, 1980, from Manila to Rojas City. I took the MB1, maybe Brother Eugene knows that. Somehow he's from that province or near that, from Manila to Rojas City. I took that the first time. I remember took a ship, big ship. It's MB1. I think after that, I think because of overloading, it sunk already. I think that's gone. But now we'll go through these passages and came up with three or four things that we can learn through this. So the outline today, so that's what I asked, that when was the last time you experienced riding, taking a ship, a boat, and then suddenly came waves, right? So when was the last time? Number one, Jesus make us go through difficult times. Secondly, Jesus comes to the rescue in expected ways at expected times. Three, Jesus pleads when we ask for the impossible things, and he responds to our request according to his will. And then lastly, Jesus deserves true worship as he reveals himself who he really is. So in the following verses, from verse 22 to 24, Jesus makes us go through difficult times. Here we can see that as you have read through these passages in the whole chapter 14 of Matthew, here Jesus just heard the death of John the Baptist. Actually, John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus Christ. They were just born, I think, 6 months apart. And then he just, as usual, he went to a desolate place to pray. So he went. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion and healed their sick. Now in in verse 15 of the same chapter 14 of Matthew, "Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the village and buy food themselves.'" So here, at this time, the disciples seem already tired and wanted to go home. You see, I don't know, in that account, it's either the disciples are tired, let them go home and buy their own food. But verse 16 says, "But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." In those days, Jewish tradition, I believe this is more than 5,000. And you cannot blame those disciples. Mind you, 10 to 15,000. Because Jewish tradition on that day says that men and women, they cannot eat together in public. So the woman and children together, they can eat, but not men and women. So it says there, besides women and children. So because it says 5,000 men. So here, you can notice that you can ask some questions. It's really when you say, Jesus says, immediately. Was it an abrupt or sudden, unexpected decision on the part of Jesus? He just made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. He said to the disciples, just go ahead. Get into the boat and just I meet you on the other side. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So as usual, same thing that's what happened when John the Baptist, his cousin died. He just went in a desolate place and prayed. Same thing, this is the second time that he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by his time, was a long way from the land, about 3 to 4 miles. Again, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Why Jesus did not go with them into the boat on the first place? Was it like, okay, I will just pray for you. See you later. In fact, when you read the account of Matthew in chapter 8, Matthew, you can see in this situation, in Matthew chapter 8, they experience also storms. But the Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat, asleep, and they encountered the same problem, winds, waves, and storm. At that time, they probably didn't think much of it, but in retrospect, it became clear that God knowingly sent them to face an adverse wind all night. He did not let them even to rest after an exhausting day of feeding the more than 5,000 people. So that's why I asked you, when was the last time you are in the boat? Sometimes the sovereign Lord intentionally sends us through difficult times when we are already facing adversities. Imagine, sometimes we are in the boat, in the safety of our boat, and suddenly comes winds and waves and storms in our life. I believe this is the same thing in the lives of the disciples back then. But on the next chapter verses, Jesus comes to the rescue. Unexpected ways, expected time. Sometimes in our lives, you are going through difficult times. You almost give up. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to expect. And suddenly, we receive unexpected response. So here in the port watch, it's about 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus could have already joined them in the boat, but he came in a completely unexpected way, walking on the water. The disciples didn't even recognize him at first. They thought he was a ghost. Furthermore, Jesus didn't show up until the fourth watch, which is about between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night. The weary, seasoned fishermen had been battling the wind and waves for long, dark hours. For sure, they prayed for God's help. Even in the Apostles John's account, once Jesus reached them and got in the boat, immediately the boat was as the land to which they were going. They were glad that they reached their destination, but until they were dead tired. When I was reading this passage, Jesus could have been there already, right? But sometimes, interestingly, Jesus somewhat delayed his rescue mission. One article from the Daily Bread says, "Every delay flows from the depths of his wisdom and love. Delay can produce these virtues: humility, patience, endurance, and persistence. Qualities that are often the last to be learned." Here I see, you can see that the Lord Jesus Christ permitted that situation. I know that he wants the disciple to be humbled, to be patient. Because the Lord Jesus Christ knows that after this, right, they will go through the preaching of the gospel. They will go through in the ministries without him. You see, in this passage, you'll see that the disciples will have the humility, the patience, endurance, and persistence in the ministry that God has entrusted to them. Also, verse 27 says, "It is I," may also be translated, "I am." Some interpret this as a claim to God's deity. Actually, this is the same name that God used when he spoke to Moses. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And third, Jesus is pleased when we ask for the impossible things and responds to our requests according to his will. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He, Jesus, said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Here Peter recognized Jesus as the sovereign Lord of all nature who was commanding the water to support him. Peter also knew that walking on the water would require faith, but he did not mistake his own faith as the power that would command the water beneath him. So he asked Jesus to command him to come, and when Jesus commanded, Peter exercised faith in Jesus' word, which Jesus honored. That's how Peter's faith helped him walk on water. It's true that when Peter's faith weakened, he sunk, in verse 30. But his cry to Jesus for help proved that Peter knew where the power to hold him up resided and was itself an expression of faith. And again, Jesus responded to Peter's faith by pulling him back up. Notice Jesus did not call any of the disciples to join him on the water. Peter took the initiative to ask Jesus to enable him to get out of the safety of the boat in order to do the humanly impossible with him. And only the Gospel of Matthew records the miracle of Peter walking on the water. This was a valuable lesson for the disciples to learn. They could do the impossible with the power of Christ. If Peter had not taken that initiative, this aspect of the story might simply be missing. What might be missing from your story and my story or testimony if we do not take the initiative to ask Jesus? He is pleased when we ask for the impossible things and responds to our requests according to his will. A while ago, we were discussing about some of the, sometimes some of us here, when somebody asks you to serve God, to do something for him, we have a lot of reasons. Oh, I don't have that enough faith. I don't have that capability. I don't have that talent. But it's not about us. It's all about him. Like Peter, he has all the weaknesses too, right? Remember, he's very impatient, outrageous. Remember when the time when Judas Iscariot, betrayed Jesus, and then the Roman soldier, one of the Roman soldiers, was about to grab Jesus. Remember who was so impatient? He got his took his sword and then cut one of the ears. And not only that, you can also remember that he denied Christ 3 times. And again here, he lose faith somehow. At first, when Christ hit his eye, you see, it's not, Jesus did not invite all the disciples, but it's Peter who took the initiative. But somehow, same with us, somehow we lose sight, focus on him. When we depend on ourselves, when we have such excuses, but we can see here Peter, with God's grace, with God's help, with all his weaknesses. And I always tell this sometimes in our Bible studies, cell group. Really, you can see here, it's not all our weaknesses, our failures. God is not looking how many times we fail. But here, with His grace, with faithfulness, He's there. He's looking after those how many times we stand up, because He's there to pick us up. And here also, says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Lastly, Jesus deserves true worship as He reveals Himself who really is. So the last two verses says, here, verse 32 and 33, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. What the disciples saw was an ability attributed only to God. They realized Jesus is God in flesh. They immediately fell before Him in worship as a symbol of placing their entire beings at the disposal of God's will and plan. Worship must be sincere. The true worshiper acknowledges the superiority of God's will over his own. Here, he's saying to the disciples, forget all those distractions. Forget the wind, the waves, the storms. For us this morning, forget all those problems, difficulties, the struggles that you are in right now. Forget all the fear. Because sometimes the unexpected ways, unexpected times, long waiting, it may come or may not come. Also forget Peter walking on water. Impossible things, you ask. I've said it may or may not come. It's not the disciples, Peter, the waves, the storm, the winds. It's all about Jesus, the Son of God, Master of everything. He's everything we need. And with this, in conclusion, there is like a song. I think the worship team in the messages of the song that has the worship team has rendered us has something also to do with this. At the end, it's all about Him. So like the disciples, they experienced those things in their lives as they were in the boat. In the safety of their boat. I know one reason that God allows those difficulties during those days in the lives of the disciples. He's popular. They have seen the miracles that they have done. Even then King Herod, if you have read in all the passages in verse 1, even King Herod was so amazed with the fame of Jesus Christ during that time. And I know with all things that they have witnessed, the feeding of those 5,000 more, and they were in the boat, I know God wants to build their character. That they will leave an influence. Because they know the disciples, after that situation, He says that He will leave them, right? They will preach the gospel at the end of the Matthew chapter 20, in the last chapter of Matthew, he let preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I will be with you always. He knows that persecutions, they will suffer more. But the influence that Jesus Christ left with them, their character will be built up with all those waves that they experience in their lives. Humility, patience, endurance, persistence, which are the qualities that are often the last to be learned. So this morning, you might be going through the same situation, trials, struggles in relationships. You might experience the loss of your loved one. I remember we went through difficult times also, especially my wife and her siblings, when we mourn for the loss of their father and sister, 2014, 2015, respectively. But we were comforted by the fact that they are already in the presence of the Lord. We are suffering right now, but praise God, with the sustaining grace of God, with His presence in our lives, with His word, with the love of our fellow believers here, we'll go through. Sometimes unexpected ways will come, unexpected times. But I know in the midst of the storm in our life, rest assured, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. As I say, He might come to your rescue in an expected way at an expected time. But He will always declare, He will declare, it is I. He is our I am. He is the good shepherd. He is the bread of life. In Romans 8:35 again, in the book of Romans chapter 8, it will comfort us, this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, and shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all those things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to sever us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But for those who of you who have not believed and trusted Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God says, and He declared, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection, the life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And one verse in Isaiah 40:31, in regards with the song, sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights among the peaks my soul can be found. Unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It may bring me low, but it will never bring me down. Because in Isaiah 40:31 says there, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, here we can see Jesus make us go through different times, in difficult times. Jesus comes to the rescue in unexpected ways unexpected times. Jesus is pleased when we ask for the impossible things and responds to our requests according to His will. And lastly, Jesus deserves to worship as He reveals Himself who He really is. Jesus, the Son of God, the Master of everything, or the Sovereign Lord of everything. Let us pray.